Good morning, church. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Hey, just to start off with some good stuff. It's been a beautiful week. We've had wonderful weather, and we are closer to coming together than we have been in a while. So that is awesome news. We praise God for that. Keep in your prayers for God to heal the land, for God to just clear us up, open us up, and just give us wisdom in all that we do. So we look forward to seeing you soon. We are confident that that is the case. And so just like our message this morning, persevere, because we are close. All right, a few things we need to remember. Number one, we want to keep Lewis in our prayers that God heals and shrinks his tumor that he has in his brain. So let's continue to pray for him. We also want to pray for Jeanette, Patty's sister, that she recovers well from her surgery. The surgery went well that she had this last week. And we just pray that she recovers well. Also, you guys were awesome with all the paper towels for the children's home. Thank you very much. That was fantastic. I talked to them and asked, what do you guys need? What's not on the radar that might be very helpful? And I brought a prop. They need these. Soap dispensers. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's a foam dispenser. It doesn't matter if it's filled with gel or regular soap. This is not hand sanitizer. This is kitchen, bathroom, sink, soap dispensers. Apparently, kids break these easily. And so they need the containers. If it's empty, mine's almost empty. I took it from the kitchen this morning to show you, and I'm going to donate it. If it's empty, give it. If it's half full, give it. If you can find some at the store, which you should be able to, these are more readily available than hand sanitizer right now. But if you got hand sanitizer, fantastic. But what they need is hand soap dispensers. They've got the liquid. They've got the foam and the gel. So they can fill them back up. But they need your dispensers. So even if it's used, don't worry about it. Bring it. So same thing. If you want to leave it in the building back there, I'll pick it up this week. I'll make a delivery for them, but let's do an awesome job and help them out with some soap dispensers this week. That will be fantastic. Also, make sure you have your Lord's Supper material ready, because we're going to kind of run from the sermon right into that, because it ties in so well this morning. So make sure you have everything there. I do know that we have some of our members have gathered together this morning in just a small group setting and being able to worship together. I think that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. So we're glad you're with us. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to jump into the Word. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise your name, and we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you, Father, for your love and your blessings and your joy. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, and we thank you for your Spirit that fills us, that enlightens us, that moves us, that directs us, that comforts us, and guides us. Father, we thank you for being in our lives. Father, we humble our hearts before you, because so often we presume to know so much, and so often we presume to think more highly of ourselves than we should. So we approach your throne in humility. And we believe, Lord, what you have told us, what we will find as we come into your presence. That having been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, having our sins forgiven, that as we approach, we find grace and mercy. We find all the strength that we need to get through everything that we face in life. We find all of the blessings of heaven in your presence. Father, we praise you. We glorify your name. We give you all that we have to give, because you have given us everything that we have. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we come together, as we worship you, I just pray, Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit, that you put our hearts and our minds in your place. And as we continue in the songs of ascent, as we are encouraged to persevere today, we pray that you give us the strength to do that. Father, we are very grateful for things around us opening up and lightening up, and we just pray that has good result. We pray, Lord, that that you heal the land. We pray, Lord, that from this time of isolation, we will carry with us good things, that we will discard from our lives things that are not necessary, and that we will carry forward the lessons that you have given us, the faith that has been strengthened, and the knowledge and understanding that you have given. Lord, we feel like we are close to being back together, and we just pray that you make that happen. We are so ready to worship with one another, to fellowship with one another, and Lord, we just pray that you open that door. Father, we lift up Lewis and we ask for healing. We pray that you continue to shrink his tumor. We pray that you continue to work in him for good and place your mighty, powerful hand upon him for healing. Father, we lift up Jeanette and we just pray that she recovers well from her surgery. We are grateful that went well for her. And we just pray that she recovers this week and that she gets to go home and be with her family. Father, we pray that you be with the children's home. We lift them up and we just pray that you watch over them and their ministry to those children. And we just ask your blessings to be upon them. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part in service for them. Father, we lift up Hui and Nadia and Hannah, and we just ask that you be with our missionaries, that you bless them in their work, and that you strengthen them for their continued service in your kingdom. And we pray, Father, that the spirit of fear will lift off everyone's minds and shoulders, and we just pray, Father, that you just fill us with your love, that you fill us with your power, and that you fill us with your self-control. We praise your name, Lord. And as we look into your holy scriptures this morning, we ask for good to happen. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start there this morning. Jesus makes a promise for us in Matthew chapter 16 that should be held dear to every believer. This should be right there, close to our heart. This should be guiding our steps. And this truth that he provides in Matthew chapter 16 shows that our confession of our Lord and Savior is so central, not only to our salvation, because we know that no one goes to the Father except through the Son, but this is so central to our Christian faith. And sometimes as we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, sometimes we forget those things that brought us to Christ in the first place. And so it's a good thing from time to time to kind of take a step back, to be reminded of what drew you to God in the first place, because that always keeps the power and the focus upon what God has done and what God is doing to draw people to Him. It's just like if you're married, if you've had a few anniversaries. So Sonny reminded me, I remembered that we had an anniversary this week. It was not a wedding anniversary, it was a proposal anniversary, that on May 1st, 26 years ago, that's when I asked her to be my wife. And so if it wasn't on May Day, I wouldn't remember that anniversary. But we always remember that, we always kind of laugh about that. But it's a good thing to think back to what drew you, just like to your spouse. You think back, what attracted you to your spouse? Because that reignites your love for them and your appreciation for them. And so the same thing too. In our Christian faith, it is good to be reminded of what drew us to Jesus in the first place. And Jesus reveals this awesome truth in Matthew chapter 16 by asking his followers, what do people say? What's the word about me? What's the popular thinking? What do you say about Jesus? And we need to answer this question, church. Who is he? Matthew chapter 16. Let's start in verse 15. After asking this question, Matthew 16, 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Wow. Upon the confession of Christ. And Jesus says, look, you've made the right confession. You have said you have understood the truth about my identity. That Jesus is the Christ. That he is the Messiah. The promised one that God has made and prepared Israel for years. He is the Savior. He is the only one that can take away our sins, save us, not only from the destructive effects of our own sinful nature of the flesh, but he is also the only one who gives life. He is the resurrected Savior. He is not some holy man or some deity from long ago that lived a life. He walked around with us and then he died and we go and we visit his tomb. Church, he is the risen Savior of God. He is the Son of the living God. That's why no one else compares. There's not Jesus is just our chosen God among the many gods. There is one God. There is one God. And in making that confession, Jesus says, yes. Yes, you are right. And it is upon that confession, it is upon that realization and that willingness to say out loud, there is no one but Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, I will build my church upon that confession. That will be the key. That will be the cornerstone to everything. And that church, my people, those who make that confession, the gates of Hades will not prevail against you. Now, yours may say gates of hell, gates of Hades. This is an amazing thing there. In the Greek, it really is using the Greek word for Hades. And Hades is not thought about in this context. Not really thought about, you know, the fire lapping up around us and our visual ideas of a popularized version or a movie version of hell. This is the realm of the dead. That's what this is. This is the realm of the dead. And he says, because you've made this confession, that the realm or the place where the dead are, that will never win against you. It has no power over you, it has no authority over you, and it will not be victorious over you. And so because of this promise that Jesus makes to us in Matthew chapter 16, we become a part of God's story, that God brings us in to his story. And his story is a long history of evil trying to destroy what God is doing, and yet at every turn, at the end of every chapter, of every season, God comes out on top. God comes out on top. He is victorious. Now, we've all had long nights of the soul. We've all had chapters in our life where we didn't know how is God going to come out victorious in this. We've all had chapters difficult times in our lives, difficult times in our time with the church, difficult times throughout history in which people have looked around and said, how's God going to do this? How's God going to make this right? How's God going to fix this? How's God going to bring justice to this situation? Church, our message this morning, what we have to hold on to is that those who have faith in God persevere. We trust him. We know because of all that he has ever done. And we know that he is good. We know that God will bring things to order. That God will bring everything under subjection to his holy throne. So we must hang on. We must persevere. We must keep our faith. Jesus himself looked around. He says, look, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find people who have made this confession and who have continued every day to live by it, to trust it, to know that death has no power over us because the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, has lived, has died, has been buried, and was raised again for the forgiveness of our sins? bringing to fruition all the promises of God. We find our yes in Jesus Christ. Everything that God is doing is through the Son. Creation itself, go back to John chapter 1. Creation of all that we see and know, all of that was done through the Son. Everything that we are and everything that we have was done through the Son. And so that confession is so powerful. So remember this week, remember, hold on to your confession. Hold on to your confession. Don't let it go. There's so much power there. Now, this brings us to our song today, Psalm 129. I know it's a little bit different. We usually start in a psalm, but I wanted us to start in that awesome promise in Matthew 16, and that's going to bring us to Psalm 129. And as we read this song today, I want you to think of this one word, persevere. Persevere. That's what this song is all about. So remember, this song of ascent would have been one of Israel's songs as they have come together. And, you know, some of our songs really are songs of talking about our history of pain or our suffering. I assume that when we come back together, we're going to have some songs of suffering together. That we're going to be overjoyed and we're going to be celebrating and praising God. But we're going to be sharing with each other that, well, this was really difficult. Or I can't wait for my kids to go back to school. Or, you know what, I'm just ready to be able to get out and go where I want to go, when I want to go. And we're going to have complaints and we're going to have some experiences that we share with each other, that it's just going to be crying out saying, that was awful. But we're going to be able to do that in a setting with one another where it's good. It's good. But Psalm 129, they are told to persevere no matter what they've had to go through. And so the song says, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turn backward. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So God's people come together. They've come together for this great time of worship. And Israel says, in fact, they say it twice, all our lives, our enemies have afflicted us. All our lives, it is our story that those that are against God come against God's people. They fight against God's people. They rail against God's people. They do and say things that are in direct conflict with what God is trying to do and what God's people are following to do. It's been this way since the beginning, that evil is fighting against God's against God, that evil is trying to destroy God's work. And yet the story at the end of verse 2, in the song, they have not won. They have not won. Evil continues to try to knock you down, to plow over your back. And you know this feeling. Sometimes evil just is so powerful that it just wants to knock you down and just run over you and just go back and forth over you until there's nothing left of you. But God's people proclaim, they sing loudly, that even though the world has always raged against us, even though we have been afflicted, evil has not prevailed. I love this picture. He says that in verse 3, the plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he has cut the cords of the wicked. And so he brings this idea that his people have been laid out and that evil has just been driving their plows just over their backs. And they're going and they're making long furrows. Now, making long furrows means they're not turning around. They're just going one direction. And so evil just says, all right, well, I've got God's people. I've got them and I'm taking care of them. I'm trying to destroy them. And they're going down this really straight long path, this long furrow. What they don't realize is that God has cut the reins. God has cut the reins to the plow that evil thinks that it's destroying God's people with. And God says, no, they're not going to win. I've cut their power. I've taken it away. They're walking down there thinking they're destroying you. They're not even bothering to look back and see that there's victory with God's people. There's victory right behind them. Evil will not last. Evil will not last. And so that's the second half of this. Verse 6 and verse 7. He gives this idea and he says, look, you want to know what evil's like? Evil may be painful. It may be difficult right now. That evil may get its way, or so it may seem, but evil's like the grass you grow on your rooftop. This was a garden that they would have grown up on the roof. It is shallow soil. You can't have a whole bunch of soil on the roof of your house. It would cave it in. And so there was shallow soil, and if you grew grass there, if you picked it up, you couldn't even make a sheave. It wasn't even long enough to be put together to be held in your arms. It just withers away. It does not last. And so evil trying to get its claws into us, evil trying to get the best of us, evil fighting against God. I mean, and when you think about evil, and you may be thinking about Satan's work or demonic work. Church, we're just talking about anything that doesn't go along with God. That is evil. And evil's work will not last. I think of when Jesus encountered Saul in the book of Acts. And he asked him, why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you fighting against me? Why are you on the side that is trying to destroy God's work? It doesn't last. Church, we are so blessed because we get to be on God's side. We are so blessed because having made the confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, having known and trusted and believing the eternal truth that God has revealed to us in His Son, having known that there is no other name by which we must be saved. Look, our history begins just like this song. Oh, they've afflicted me all my life. All my life, people have gone against me. Evil has gone against me. Evil has tried to destroy me every step of the way, but that's not my story, and that's not how it ends, because God is faithful. We persevere, church. Ours is the victory. Ours is the life that lasts. And so our joy and our existence are in the Lord. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, another picture is painted for us. A beautiful picture of perseverance. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start in verse 1. You know this. You know this picture, but this is fantastic. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And chastises every son whom he receives. So Jesus Christ gives us the perfect example of endurance. Church, we have to endure when we face evil. We have to keep moving forward. We have to run the race that has been set before us. How do we do that? We keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus Christ. If we look to the right, if we look to the left, if we take a look away from Jesus, we may be enticed to sin. We may be tempted to go our own way. We may think that we are more powerful than we actually are. We may forget that he is in the driver's seat. We may want to take control. See, for a lot of us, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, some of our biggest temptations are not sins of the flesh. They are not sins that we call, you know, in polite society or polite Christian society, sins of the sexual nature or a lustful nature or putting bad things in us or thinking bad things or doing bad things with our body. For a lot of us, our temptation to sin is just taking our eyes off of Jesus and thinking that we're in control. Making ourselves into God and saying, you know what, I just want to do what I want to do. I just want to be free of His control. But how we persevere, how we will continue all the way to our goal is by keeping our eyes, verse 2, looking to Jesus. That's where we'll find endurance for the race. If you are feeling down right now, look to Jesus. If you're feeling tired and wore out, look to Jesus. If social isolation has just gotten you to the point to where all you do is see germs all around you, or you're just worried about things, about new cases or deaths in this county or this state or that state, if you are just bogged down by everything that we've been going through for these last several weeks, look to Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, what does that mean, author and perfecter of our faith? Church, what that means is He started it and He finished it. He started it and He finished it. That's what author and perfecter is. Author is the one that writes it, that comes up with it. Jesus trusted the Father through every step of the way. And then Jesus trusted the Father all the way to the end of His life here on earth. Now think back to the story of Jesus. Think back to the beginning of His ministry. Satan tempted Him. He's baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the justness of God. He is baptized, and then immediately the Spirit takes Him away into the wilderness, and Satan shows up and he tempts Him. And he tries to derail Him. He tries to get His ministry to not follow the Father, but to go its own way. You know, the same temptations that we face. He just tried to get Jesus to save Himself, basically, and to not trust the Father. And church, we're tempted with that same thing. That's what I was talking about a minute ago. So that's how the beginning, how he authors our faith, how He founded it, how He began it. He showed us that by looking at Scripture, by keeping His eyes on God, because that's how He fought Satan. That's how He got Satan to leave Him alone. He said, look, I'm going to trust God's Word, not the lies that you bring. And then you look how He perfected, how He brought His faith to completion. He was mocked. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was killed. He was worse than anything besides the fact that He was innocent. Because innocent people, bad things happen to innocent people all the time. But having gone through all of that, He suffered and died at the hands of sinful men. And He went through a fate that He's the only one that truly didn't deserve any of it. And so that's how He brought His faith to completion. And you imagine Jesus on the cross, hanging there. And what did He do? He was faithful till the end. He said, Father, forgive them, because they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Church, when you are being hurt by others, is that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Are you calling down thunder and lightning upon your enemies? Or are you opening up your arms, just like Jesus, and saying, Father, I ask that You bring these enemies of mine to repentance. I want them to know You. Right now they're hurting me. They're making my life uncomfortable. But that's only because they don't know You or Your Son. Father, forgive them. The very end, as Jesus was bringing His faith to completion, with His last breath, He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I've trusted You all the way, and I'm about to face death. I'm about to be separated from You, but You have my spirit, You have my soul, You have my essence, You hold on to me, and I let You hold on to it. Church, we face every single day, every single situation, and even all the way up into our death, we trust God. We trust His promise. We trust His promise. And that's why in Matthew chapter 16, He says, look, if you make the confession, if you trust me as the Son of God, if you trust me as Lord and Savior, then the realm of death will have no power over you. You have to trust the Father. But you can go even to the end of your life in this flesh, peacefully and faithfully. And you may say the same thing that Jesus says, Father, into your hands do I commit my spirit. I trust you with my eternal being and presence because I know that you raise from the dead. I know that the power over life and death are in your hands and your hands alone. Church, say it with me this morning loud and proud. We serve a risen Savior. The power of the resurrection of God as seen in the life of Jesus Christ. That is the power that keeps us focused on Jesus, persevering and pushing forward, trusting Him, walking after Him, living life with Him, not being afraid of death. What a powerful message, and what an awesome song. What an awesome song that we join in with God's people, that we join in with Israel, that God's people say, look, they have tried to do everything in their power to take us out, but God wins. God wins. Church, that is an immunization for our faith this morning. That is a boost. That is a powerful thing. And it all hinges on verse 4 of Psalm 129. It's right in the middle of all that. Right in the middle of, I'm trusting God through all that I've suffered. And I'm trusting God to take care of those that are not going to last. Right there in verse 4 it says, the Lord is righteous. The Lord is righteous. That's the key. That's the key. He is true to His nature. He has said He will do it. He will do it. We have to trust Him. All right, church, let's go ahead and make sure you've got your stuff for communion ready. This kind of tied in with the end of the lesson and then right on into the Lord's Supper this morning. So I wanted to read from Romans chapter 3. I wanted us to, as we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, I want us to think about God's righteousness. Okay? You have some time this week. Spend some time just looking at God's righteousness. Use the back of your Bible. Use your concordance and just look up the righteousness of God. We're going to read a little bit about it in Romans chapter 3 this morning, but I want you to focus on God's righteousness. Because so much, when we think about righteousness, we just think about our ability to avoid sin. And that is a cheap definition of this word, both in the Old Testament in the Hebrew and the New Testament in the Greek. So I want you to really focus on the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is so much greater than how we think of, well, I'm a righteous person because, you know, I didn't smoke or drink or cuss this week. No. So I want you to really dig in there. But in Romans chapter 3, let's go down to verse 21. And as we enter into our time of communion, let us see the righteousness of God. Romans 3:21 says, but now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Church, let's pray together. Let's give thanks for the body of Christ. And let us receive the gift that God provides. Our Father in heaven, in this prayer and in our time together this morning, we praise You and celebrate Your righteousness. We are so very grateful that you are true to your nature. You are good. You are just. You fulfill everything that you say. You are the bringer, the giver of promises, and the fulfiller of promises. Father, we see in your Son, Jesus Christ, everything that you have brought together. It all culminates in him. And so this morning together, we look back at his life. We look back at how he lived faithfully to you all the days of his life. We look back and see how he trusted you when he was tempted. He trusted you when he suffered. He trusted you when he was being killed. He trusted you in the face of death. And Father, having gone through being the perfecter of our faith, giving his life as the sacrifice for our sins, we take this bread this morning. We partake of his body. We become one with him and with you. We remember the pain, and we celebrate the freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, on that night, in the same way Jesus took the cup and declared in that Passover celebration that this cup now was the new covenant in his blood. And he declared what you have always wanted for us, that our sins would be remembered no more, that we would desire you, that we would desire good, that we would walk having nothing to hide, just like they were in the garden. Father, we thank you for restoring our relationship with you. We thank you for forgiving our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for sealing his declaration that you would not remember our sins and hold them against us. Father, we praise your name. We partake of this cup together and we celebrate. We declare loudly in our faith and in your body, the church, we are forgiven. You are God, and Jesus, your Son, is our Lord and Savior, the perfecter of our faith. We pray through his holy name. Amen. Church, we thank you for joining us, and we just invite you to go ahead and open up that file for singing, and let's sing together. Let's make a joyful noise. Let us celebrate these things that we have looked at in the nature of God. God is righteous. He is good. He is true to his word. He is just. He will pick us up from everything that we have suffered through, and we will stand with him in the end. That's our destination, so keep your eyes on Jesus. This week. Have an awesome week, and just know that we are so excited to see you soon, and we are so excited just to see God fulfill all of his promises, even through this difficult and dark time. We love you. We're here for you. If you need anything, let us know. And one last time, don't forget your soap dispensers. Have a blessed week.